Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Good morning. Beautiful sunrise today in Cocoa Beach, Florida. So if I step out of camera for a minute, you can kind of see. There it is. It's so bright that it's hard for you to even see my face, even with my lighting that I usually use. So anyway, beautiful day here in Florida. Hey, Tony. Hey, Pat. Did you have a good ride this weekend? Just wondering if you guys got to, I think you were going to go up to Mims this weekend. So hope you had a good motorcycle ride. Good morning to all you Knights of Columbus members out there. I know a lot of you guys are getting Christmas tree lots set up right now. There you go. I don't know how to get it so you can see me and see the... Maybe that'll work a little bit better. There we go. Okay. Good morning. I want to ask you especially to pray for my wife today, Cindy. She had to fly up to Kentucky yesterday. Her father's gravely ill, Ernest. And so our prayers go out to Gail and to Renee and to Michael and Mike and to Cindy and to her father, Ernest. So praying for her today. They're all there at the hospital right now. And so my heart and our prayers go out to her. We're reading through the catechism, and you know, when I title the catechism, I'll say Ocean Sunrise Catechism and then the pound sign and then a number. What that number is the number of the paragraph we're on. So if you're following along in your catechism, you'll know where we are. So we're in 23, necessary adaptations. The catechism emphasizes the exposition of doctrine. It seeks to help deepen understanding of faith. In this way, it is oriented towards the maturing of that faith. It's putting down roots in personal life, and it's shining forth in personal conduct. So faith is not just a mental assertion. Faith is not just a group of facts, and we go, okay, I accept those facts. It should form us and cause us to take root deeply into our life and our personal virtue. By design, this catechism does not set out to provide the adaptation of doctrinal presentations and catechetical methods required by the different cultures, age, spiritual maturity, and social an ecclesial condition among all those to whom it is addressed. That is why you'll see the U.S. Council of Bishops issued something called the Catechetical Directory, or the Directory on the Catechism. It's to say, okay, here's the catechism that's for the whole church. Now, how can we apply that this to life in America? So by design, this catechism does not set out to provide the adaptation of the doctrinal presentations and catechetical methods. So what might work here may not work in Bosnia, may not work in Kenya, may not work in China. So it's the talk, the truth and the moral teaching are the same, but how do you apply that? And how do you do that for different stages of spiritual maturity, you know, for the young or for the children or for those that are going deeper in the faith? And social and ecclesial condition among all those to whom it is addressed. Such indispensable adaptations are the responsibility of particular catechisms, and even more of those who instruct the faithful. So even in the Council of Trent, in the Baltimore Catechism, some ways that the Baltimore Catechism were adapted were for meant for priests, and the Council of Trent, those were meant for the priests and teachers to take and then communicate them to the parishioners. Remember back in when the Council of Trent was produced, there weren't even, you know, you couldn't mass produce books. So same thing is true here. It's teaching teachers, but also the faithful. Whoever teaches must become all things to all men. Who is that? That was Saint Paul. Remember, he would adapt to his culture. When he was in Athens, he spoke to them like a philosopher, you know, and used some of Plato-type terminology and quoted their poets as a means to bridge communication, not in any way to change the truth of the doctrine or the moral life that God's calling us to, but to help people understand. When Saint Ignatius went into Japan, he wore the philosopher's robes, or I guess it was certain types of robes as a teacher that would set him apart, so people would know, oh, he's a teacher. He adapted to the culture. It's called acculturation. The Catholic, you know, the word culture comes from the word cult, which is the word for religion. So the way man's culture expresses itself in every culture has within its core the upward yearning of man for justice, for truth, for love, for beauty, for love. And for a desire to go home. Those are the upward yearnings in man's soul, and so we see that manifested in some of their culture itself. So where that culture can help us communicate the absolute truth of the gospel, then we can adapt that. For example, in Hawaii, when the Protestants first came into Hawaii from New England to evangelize the islands, they made them stop doing the hula, they made them stop surfing, they made them stop using their language, and they made them start wearing really stuffy, hot clothes. That's not a good way to communicate. But the Hawaiians still were open to the gospel in spite of that. But as Catholics, you'll see our Catholic priest in our church wears sandals, and there's a beautiful Tongan mass where you hear the Tongan voices singing, and the men wear their Tongan, I don't know what you would call, I forget the name of it, the skirts. I forget, Malu, I think, but I forget. But, you know, there's the element of culture is still there. And the women will do the hula during certain masses, you know, as part of the singing. So that's enculturation. That's taking what the culture has and saying, what you have here, that's pointing to beauty. Let's just adjust where it's pointing a little bit better and point it to the Lord. So it's being all things to all men, to win everyone to Christ. Above all, teachers must not imagine that a single kind of soul has been entrusted to them, and that consequently it is lawful to teach and to form equally all the faithful in true piety with one and the same method. In other words, the goal is the same. But there's some people, for example, will enter the Catholic Church because of the beauty of cathedral, like Dr. Peter Kraft. His first exposure to the Catholic Church was a beautiful cathedral. And you know, cathedrals, as we said, are a form of a catechism. The way they're built, the different types of artwork, the altar and everything, the way that is, that beauty communicates the gospel. Some people will come because intellectually, to be true intellectually, they understand that the truth of Scripture. People will come to the Lord for the sacraments, you know, come to the Catholic Church because of the beauty of having first seen the monstrance with the Eucharist displayed. I've had many people say that was their first encounter with Christ, was the overwhelming sense that filled their heart so unexpectedly. So different people come to the Lord, respond to the Lord in different ways. And so to teach them in ways that that they can communicate, to speak in their language. You know, for example, in the charismatic renewal when I received the baptism and I received the gift of tongues, which I still use most days. When I received the gift of tongues a few days later, my dad wanted us to pray for him. And my language at that time was very rough, I would say. So I prayed in tongues with him. Then we laid hands on him and prayed with him. My language was very, very rough, I would say, a way of saying it. And he told me he understood some of the words because he's Ukrainian. He said it wasn't Ukrainian, but he understood the word God and he understood the word love. That, like a dialect of his language. And then as we prayed for him and he received the baptism of the Spirit, my language became a more angelic. It changed to a totally different language, a language that I've never heard on earth. Koranda da Basilia na Moshonda da Bokite li Andasa, Lata Moshan da Sik Nishi Sia la Sanda, Koria Rata na Mande Shilia Sa, Tamokini na Mosete. Soloto nomo shite na casa tanda. So that's just the Holy Spirit praying through me, just as they spoke in tongues at the second chapter of Acts. They communicated in the language of the people that were there, and that's what we need to do as teachers: is communicate the teaching to the language of the people that we're teaching to. You know, we have to communicate in a way that communicates to them. How can I say that? I don't know. The type of music, things like that, can have a great impact in reaching people. Sometimes contemporary, I have one of my clients, I was fortunate to know there were a group of about four or five or six Protestant rock musicians, the very first ones, that Daryl Mansfield, who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, his music, it starts out our radio show. And then there's Keith and Melody Green. Their music was so powerful. Keith was very anti-Catholic, but became asked for forgiveness just before his death for his stand against Catholicism. And Jamie Owens Collins and Dan's Collins and members of the second chapter of Acts. Those were the first six or seven Christian rock bands that came out of Melody Green's kitchen in the valley in California. They were communicating to a whole generation because they were using that type of music. So we need to teach people, communicate to people in a language that they can understand. When I wrote my book, Deep in the Wave, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, that's meant for everyone, but it communicates in a really different way the gospel. And when I say different, I mean real. It's not in platitudes. It's just in a very real, genuine language that it grabs people's attention. So above all, teachers must not imagine that a single kind of soul has been entrusted to them, and that consequently it is lawful to teach and form equally all the faithful in true piety with them, one and the same method. So we have the same goal, but we don't need to use the same method. I remember when my children were little, I taught them from the scripture verses about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It may sound funny, but I got them to get kitchen pots and pans and utensils and march around the house and just make a noise, similar to what happened, I think, on the seventh day when they went around Jericho and they made a loud noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I'll tell you, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was a drummer, and I couldn't sing. The band would not allow me to sing. I could just play the drums. When I was young and I was in choir, for a Christmas choir, the nun that was so sweet said, "Why don't you just mouth the words and not sing out loud during our presentation?" I literally could not carry a note. I remember my father sitting down in the organ that we had and playing the note and saying, "Okay, now can you make that sound?" And I couldn't do it. And then I remember about 10 days after giving my life to the Lord, I was at a Community of God Select Charismatic Prayer Meeting in Dallas, about 1,000 people there. And they were singing Amazing Grace, and my dad was on one side and my mom on the other, and I was belting out Amazing Grace on key. And then it ended up that I became a leader of worship. with my guitar. couldn't really leave my drums. But again, then I began to, I had begun to play the guitar, but I just couldn't sing. But then all of a sudden I could sing, and some people said I sang pretty good. So I led the worship for the Catholic Charismatic Prayer Meetings with 600 or 700 people in them. So it just shows you that that God can use even a donkey to speak the gospel. So we are his teachers, and he can use us. We just have to open our mouths, but be attentive to who we're speaking to. Let them realize that some are in Christ as newborn babes, others as adolescents, and still others as adults in full command of their powers. Those who are called to the ministry of preaching must suit their words to the maturity and understanding of their hearers as they hand on the teaching of the mysteries of faith and the rules of moral conduct. And that's what we're doing here. Hey, Dan Barta, miracle man, faithful man. Dan Barta remarried his wife recently, and then had the challenge of cancer and battled through that, and is doing great. And he's a testimony. Oh, by the way, the Lord wanted me to I felt wanted me to start challenging men in particular, women too, but to start praying for miracles, actual miracles. Lay hands on people, pray for them to be better, cast out demons, and begin to believe God for miracles. Don't just talk about it. When people express a need, grab their hand and pray for them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'll let you watch the sunrise a little bit. Aloha. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, please pray for Renee and Gail and Cindy, and for Ernest and Michael and Mike and the family gathered there by Cindy's father's bedside in Kentucky. It seems like it's his time to go, but we don't know. Pray for a miracle. We'll just pray for the Lord's, for the Lord to be there. Amen.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.